Brother Dave's sermon last week kind of stirred me up, and I thought about what we as Primitive Baptists, and not just Primitive Baptists, but there's some other folks that believe in predestination and the election of God. This morning I kind of want to try to speak upon that because, you know, some people accuse old Baptists of that's all we ever preach on. Well, it's not. We preach on other things besides that. I had to find out where these folks were from and what church they might belong to because I thought, well, I might have to change my sermon this morning because some folks might not believe like that I'm going to preach it this morning. Or the Lord blessed me to preach it. But predestination brought folks in. It didn't, it left some out. But predestination, I'm thankful this morning to know that God brought us in. He loved us. He has always loved us. He loved us before the foundation of the world. And predestination didn't just happen here in time. God predetermined beforehand His children. And He has loved them eternally. He has loved them forever. God's love has no beginning. It has no end. So in that, God had a chosen people. He still has a chosen people. And as we go through this old weary world, sometimes in our life, God will born us again. A man can't born himself again. You can't come to Christ unless Christ draws you. Unless the Lord draws you, I don't care how many preachers that you hear, preaching's not going to. Now, it will soothe your soul, the preaching of the Word. But there's a lot of people in the world today that has a head knowledge of God, but they don't really know God. They've never felt the great love of God in their hearts. And so they have a head knowledge of God. I once was like that. I had a head knowledge of God, but until the Lord drew me unto Him until I was born again of the Spirit of God, I didn't know anything about the love of God. And it makes me happy and it makes me almost want to shout. I wished I could tell people how I feel in my heart to know the Lord Jesus Christ. To know Him, and I want to know Him better as I go through life. I want to know Him more. I want to love Him more as I go through life. Because I think it is the essence of our happiness to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. In the 8th chapter of Romans, and we'll use the 8th chapter of Romans and Ephesians chapter 1 in my preaching and teaching this morning. And we'll start in the 26th verse. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings without which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because it maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. According to the will of God. Now we've been born again of the Spirit of God. We know the Lord Jesus Christ personally. We know Him as our Savior. We know that we are saved by grace. S-A-V-E-D. Past tense. Saved by grace. As we go on and read, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to His will. Now, I believe what that says. I believe all things, and I know God is not the author of bad things that comes up on us, but He'll work it out somewhere or other. If we read about Job, how He blessed Job and all the things that came against Job, and God, you know, He allowed that to happen to Job. You might say He just kindly pitched Job in the devil's lap, didn't He? But He knew Job's life, and He knew what Job, He knew how strong Job was in the Lord. And He knew that whatever Job went through, that he was going to overcome by the grace of God, by the power of God. And so we see there's a thing there. There's proof that God will watch over us and keep us through all that we have to go through, even the bad times in our lives, the worst times in our lives, through these things, that He'll keep us and He'll watch over us, and that He'll, at the end, that we'll come through those things refined as gold and refined through the bad times in our lives that comes upon us. And we go through those things and we're refined as gold, and we come out a lot better off than we went in, because then we know how to be prepared to go through other things in life that will come against us. The same thing may happen over and over again. But by the grace of God, by the power of God, He will bring us through those things, and we're refined as gold. Then in the 29th verse, He says, "For whom He did foreknow, whom He did foreknow." This is in eons of time. There is no time with God, but if you want to say eons of time, if we want to say eons of time before the foundation of the world, whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, we may not understand all that God has foreknown. We may not understand the predestination to the full extent which it is, but God knows. And God, some people would say, well, that would be unrighteous for God to love some and not love others. Well, God is righteous in whatever He does, whatever He chooses. So God is always right. I've often said, if God ever had one thought, now I don't think God is sitting up in heaven and scratching His head still and wondering how He's going to solve problems or who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. I believe that choice has done been made. And it was made many, many, many times ago by God. If He ever had one thought, then He'd done it all at once. Because God is that smart. You can't explain it, how smart God is. He knows what we're going to do from one moment to the next. He knows what our life is going to be. He knows every thought. He has the numbers. He has numbered the hairs in our head. And I'm losing some of mine. But that's all right. God knows all things. He's all wise. The Word of God said He's all wise. There's no all the humanistic minds in this world is just a minute little thing to God. You know, you got all of these people who are think they're so smart and so wise. Well, I got news for them. I know one that is wiser and a whole lot smarter than they are, who knows all things, who knows our lives, what our lives is going to be. And so he says, whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. So we are now Christ-like. When we're out in the world, I didn't know if I was a child of God or not. I had a head knowledge of God. I went to church every Sunday, but I just didn't enjoy it. Didn't think anything about God, but I enjoy the joy of my salvation. I enjoy the Word of God. I enjoy being around God's people. I enjoy coming to the house of the Lord. I enjoy coming to the pulpit and preaching the Word of God to God's people. Give me, Lord, give me all this and more as I live in this. Oh, and all the godly things, all the spiritual things that I need to go through this old weary world. He has predetermined, he has predestinated you as a child of God. If you're a child of God, you will know sometime in time that you are a child of God when you're born again of the Spirit of God. I didn't know until that time in my life. But I'm happy today to know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I beg God every day of my life. I beg God every day of my life. Let me love you more, Lord. Let me know more about you. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my transgressions. As I've often said, I have to run to the Lord a lot. I have to go to Him a whole lot. Every day of my life, I don't think I've ever went through a day in my life that I don't have to go to the Lord and ask Him for something or to tell Him thank you for something. It should be one of our most blessed things to run to the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, for your rich blessings. Thank you, Lord, that you watched over me this night, that you have watched over me this day, and you have allowed me to arise out of my bed from my sleep and see the beauty of another day which thy hands has made, which thy hands have created. Moreover, he says in the 30th verse, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. He also called. Now, we've been born again, and we know that's the calling. We know that we are a child of God, and that we're to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we love God. Now, we don't probably love Him like we should. I know we don't. But we are to ask God to open our minds and our hearts that we might love Him more as we go through these perilous times. And he goes on to say, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? Who can take these blessings and who can take those things away from us if we know the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, I love to just speak about the Lord. I love to mention His name. And I love to hear God's people when they're gathered together in many places that I've been tell me about their awakening with the Lord and their how they have strived to serve God. How God has blessed them. So God awakens us that we are a child of God. and reveals unto us that we are a child of God. He reveals that unto us. A preacher can't do that. A person can't do that. He says it is God that worketh both the will and the do, whereby we come unto him crying, Abba, Father. It is God, not man, not the preacher. It is God that worketh both the will and the do, whereby we come unto him crying, Abba, Father. You know, I think about when Christ was upon this earth and he went to preach to the multitude over there, and all these folks were gathered in to hear God preach, to hear Jesus preach, and they all hadn't come to hear him preach. Some of them had come because there was food promised. And so Jesus started in teaching, and there was 5,000 plus, there was more than that, really. It says 5,000, but I'm sure that there was their wives, there were women there, and there were children there. And somebody heard one preacher say one time there's probably about 12 or 13,000 people gathered there to hear Jesus preach. Well, not all of them come to hear him preach. They come for the food. You have people, I've got nothing against churches feeding people. I've got nothing against us feeding the hungry. But when you start saying that you have saved 10,000 souls or something, and they're there for the food, for the natural food and not the spiritual food, that you've saved 10,000 souls, you ain't saved nobody. You're wasting your breath and your time until they may be the children of God. Until they're born again of the Spirit of God, they're not going to care anything about the Lord. They're not going to go to hear God's word. They're not going to hear the preacher preach the word. We're here this morning because we love Christ. We want to hear the word of God because we are the children of God. You know, today, in this day and time, everybody wants to follow the crowd. You see these big mega churches, and they're full, you know. Well, they got something else going on usually besides preaching. They got all kinds of things going on in the churches. Let me tell you what the Lord set the church up for the preaching of the Word of God, and that's it. To come and to hear the Word of God. All these other things that's going into the church is not pleasing to God. You got basketball teams, you got dancing, you got all this other stuff going on. That's not what God wants in His church. That's the devil, really, when you get down to it. God says that we're to come and we're to have fellowship with Him first of all. We're to have fellowship with one another. Hear the Word of God. That's what the church is for. He said we're gathered together in His name. Then as we go down a little bit further, he says in the 35th verse, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, I've preached on this quite a few times, but this will go with what I'm preaching on this morning. Who shall separate us? Some 17 or 18 different things that God mentions here, that the Lord mentions, that will come against us. Or maybe not all these things, but came against the Apostle Paul. He says, shall tribulations... Tribulations can't separate us from the love of God. Shall distress. Distress can't separate us from the love of God. It can cause us a lot of problems in life. Tribulations, we've got tribulations. But where do I run when I need help in my tribulations. I run to the Lord. I go to the Lord. Where do I go when I'm distressed? I go to the Lord. Persecution, famine, nor nakedness, nor pearl, nor sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. You notice he says, as sheep for the slaughter. Then he says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him. That L-O-V-E-D, past tense, ever and ever loved us. He has loved us with an everlasting love. As Jeremiah says, with an everlasting love have I loved thee, and with cords of love have I drawn thee. So when did God first love us? He's not just beginning to love us in this timely world. He has loved us forever and ever. And you cannot break the love of God. You cannot turn away the love of God. Because God's love is all faithful, and God's love is all strong, and he's going to love you in spite of what you are. Now, he's not pleased in what we do in our life. He's not pleased with our sins. But he still loves us. He still loves us. He's never going to stop loving us. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And listen to what the Apostle Paul says here. He says, and when he says, I'm persuaded, I believe he was determined. He knew beyond a shadow of a doubt. That's how the Apostle Paul, how he loved God and how he loved God's people. He says, he goes on to say, I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ. And I'm glad he added all of these things. I'm glad he added creature, because the devil can't separate you from the love of God. You can't separate yourself from the love of God. The world can't separate you from the love of God. God's love is eternal love, and you can't separate God's love from us. God's love is the most powerful thing, I believe, that we have. It's one of the greatest attributes that God has given us. Now, there's a difference between natural love and spiritual love. Natural love, there's a lot of people who have natural love. Of course, that's of God too. But when you have natural love and when you have the spiritual love, especially the spiritual love, that's supernatural. That's something that's special from God that we have in our lives, and we have that love in our hearts. God has done an operation and never left a scar on our hearts. He says, you're a child of God. I've predestinated you. I determined that you are a child of God. And I want you to enjoy my love. I want you to enjoy the spiritual things in this old weary world, because you sure can't enjoy the things of the world, because there's nothing out there to enjoy. You might think it is. But what if you were like you were years ago? I often think about that. What if I was like I was when I was out in the world and doing things against God and not knowing the Lord loved me, not knowing God personally? Oh, what a miserable place that is. I wouldn't go back there for nothing, nothing. All the mankind's love, I wouldn't go back there. All anything in this world, I wouldn't go back to what I once was. because the Lord brought me out of that. And he set me on my feet, and he made me to see a light. And I see the light. You know, sometimes the candle gets dim, but the candle never goes out. Oh, yes, we get in hard times sometimes. We get in hard places. But child of God, there is a great Almighty God that can bring you out of those places and give you a comfort. He is a spirit of comfort. And we look to him for that spirit of comfort this morning. The world is in disarray. The world's in torment. The world is awful. You look at people who are out in the world and who are going to and fro and don't know anything about God and don't know where their life is going. What a bad, terrible situation they're in. All right, let's go over to the Ephesian letter. Well, let's go to Galatians, the fourth chapter, real quick. And reading from about the sixth verse, he says, "And because you are the sons of God, he has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts," what I was just telling you, "into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son." But a son, you are the sons of God. And if a son, then you are heirs of God through Christ. What a comfort that is. Listen, you got DNA of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're his. Your DNA is in Christ Jesus. So you're his this morning. You're eternally his. Okay, now we'll go over to the Ephesian letter. First chapter, verse 4. "According as he has chosen us," God has chosen us. Not you, not any man has chosen us, but God has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. "That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of" whose will? God's will. His will. "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace." You see, it's all of the Lord. It's not of man. It's not of man. It's of the Lord. I just want to read down here in the second chapter too, where it says in the first verse, you hath he quickened. You hath he, God, quickened. Not man, who were dead in trespasses and sin." See, we were dead in trespasses and sin, "wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," which is the devil, old slew foot, "the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, this is one of Brother Dave, but God, who is rich in mercy and his great love wherein he loved us, past tense, L-O-V-E-D, loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. By grace are you saved. I hope this gets through to God's people that we can't do anything on our own about being saved. It's all up to God. It's all up to Him. All right, we're going to Galatians, the 5th chapter. We're going to talk about walking after God has revealed Himself unto us, walking in the Spirit. In the 16th verse, he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." We all probably forget sometimes when we want to do things against God. We're not in the Spirit of God. When the Spirit will not accept anything. We have the Spirit of God. We've been born again. The Spirit of God lives within us. The Spirit will not accept anything that is evil and that is not of God, is not spiritual. So that's why God warns us. He says, quench not the Spirit. We're to walk in the Spirit. We're to walk in the unity. This is in the unity of God as much as we can. I believe the Apostle Paul, now he wasn't a perfect man, but I believe he walked a lot of his life in the Spirit of God because he was able, God give him the option to be able to write 13 books of the Bible, and every book of the Bible, every word that Paul wrote was a gift from God. It came down, Paul wrote it, and it was the perfect word. Paul was perfect in what he preached, I believe, because it came from God. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." We have a war going on, don't we, within ourselves. We want to kindly dabble in the things of the world, and we want to be able to go to church and feel the Spirit of God and to be able to worship God. But when we're dabbling in the things of the world, we're quenching the Spirit. And we're all guilty of that. You know, every Sunday morning before I walk in the house of God, I say, "God, let me please worship you in spirit and in truth this morning. Let me just sit for a little while and get in out of the world and partake of the spiritual things that you have for me. Let me dwell for a while with God's people and the Lord, and let me partake of those things for a little while this morning, because I know when I probably leave here, I'm going to have probably some bad thoughts. That's not good. But God is gracious and forgiving. God loves us. He says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these things are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Paul knew exactly. He knew what he was talking about. "But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these. And he mentions all of these things that we've probably been guilty of. Well, you say, I've never murdered nobody. Well, he says, if you don't love your brother, if you hated, then that's murder. He said, and God, I'm glad he said over in, I believe it's the book of Romans, or no, John, he says, if you love the brother, you know you've passed from death unto life. If you love the brother. What a blessing. In the 22nd verse, he says, but the fruits of the Spirit, in closing this morning, but the fruits of the Spirit is love. This is what I've been teaching this morning. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's a plateful there, isn't it? Boy, if you can go through all of these things in your life and every day of your life, you're perfect. But I got news for you, you're not perfect. But the fruits of the Spirit is love and joy. You always have love in your heart? Do you always have joy in your heart? That's not pleasing to God. Peace, do you always have peace in your heart? Long-suffering, oh boy, there's one there that we're all, I know, guilty of. Long-suffering, Brother Dave, you've been long-suffering? You have? Okay. Goodness, faith, meekness. Got meekness, temperance. Against such things there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh, which is the afflictions of the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You know, if we're in the Spirit of God, you know what that means? You know how you can tell if you're in the Spirit of God? If you got nothing else on your mind except serving the Lord. This morning when you got up, you had nothing else on your mind except coming to church and hearing the Word of God. You're in the Spirit of God. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. We're to love one another. We're to be forgiving of one another. We're to live in peace and have joy in our heart. Love. We're to be long-suffering. Boy, I wished I could just hold on to those and do it all. But I'm in this old humanistic body. And only by the grace of God can I do any of these things. Only by the love of God can I do any of these things. But I'm sure glad this morning that God predetermined that I'm a child of God. And even though I break some of these things and I do things against God, I know that I'm still a child of God and He still loves me. May the Lord bless and keep you is my prayer. Does someone have a song? Number 192. Let us stand and sing number 192.